Safi Durus Farma Rijeka. Please straighten the rows, ensure all cups are filled, all spaces are filled, whether standing shoulder to shoulder, inshallah. Brothers, please ensure our trousers are above the ankles. And if we're wearing jeans or these kind of clothing, please ensure we pull it up. We, you know, unfortunately have to hear people in sajda, etc. Our back is becoming exposed. Our lower part of our body is becoming exposed. And this will totally ruin our salah. Our salah will not be valid. It's very important that we keep our trousers pulled up and above the ankles as well. Jazakumullah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. السلام السلام. لا إله إلا الله لا شريك له. الحمد لله شريك له. Inshallah, after the remaining dua, we'll have every Saturday and Sunday, inshallah, we'll have programs in English after Asr Salah. Very brief. I know everyone's very tired, and it's a time of dua and a time of tilawat. But just as a brief reminder, we'll have a very short 10-15 minute session. So today it's just going to be about some of the lessons we can take from the lives of the pious people, some of their actions, some of their statements, to help us motivate ourselves, encourage ourselves to do better a'mal, inshallah, in the month of Ramadan. With the request to participate, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma ya Rabbi, ta'ala wa fiyashana ya wajib. Allahumma rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban an-nar. Allahumma ya Rabbi, ta'ala wa fiyashana ya wajib. Allahumma rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban an-nar. وبنتقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم توب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله وسلم على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. الحمد لله. Every Ramadan we have different programs. So Monday to Friday, inshallah, our respected Imam Sahib, Mr. Abdul Karim Shah Sahib, will be conducting his lessons of hadith in Urdu. So on Saturday and Sunday, what we'll do inshallah, just for a few minutes, just go over some of the points from the lives of the pious people, just to remind ourselves, encourage ourselves, motivate ourselves, that subhanAllah, this is how they used to be, and this is what we need to aspire to become like. So I just picked up this book from my bookshelf. I have not actually looked through what I'm going to do. But there was a great Imam, Imam Shamsuddin, Hafiz Shamsuddin al-Zahabi rahmatullahi alayhi. And Hafiz Shamsuddin al-Zahabi rahmatullahi alayhi, he was one of the great muhaddithun, scholars of hadith, as well as one of the great mu'arrikhun, one of the great hadith, history, scholars of history as well. So he compiled this huge book called Siyaru A'lam al-Nubala, in which he gathered the biographies of many of the muhaddith, starting from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and many of the sahaba, sahabiyat, tabi'un, atba'u tabi'un, and many of the great, basically scholars, and pious people and awliya. And in there he brings the biography, as well as he brings their statements, some of their aqwal, their malfuzat, their, you know, precious pearls that they would say, their special actions that they would do. And he brought it so people, we are encouraged. We know about those people and we are encouraged from the, we take, you know, motivation from the lives of those people. So this scholar, Sharif Fahad bin Ahmad bin Abdullah al-Mahdali, hafidhahullah, he's come along and what he's done is, Siyaru A'lam al-Nubala is in 30 volumes. It could be more, I don't know, in different editions. So he's read through that whole kitab. And from there he selected, you know, like the juicy stories, as in those that will really hit the mark, that we'll benefit from, we'll find amazing, we'll find, you know, inspirational, because there's so much detail in there. He's found the most, you know, motivational stories from there, and he's compiled them in this 3-volume book. So this is volume 1. So mashallah, it's very beneficial. Time to time I just read it and I find it really, really, really beneficial, alhamdulillah. So I'll go mention some of the statements from this chapter. Al-Ibadah. Al-Ibadah. Ibadah, worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know Ramadan is a time in which, I was listening to one scholar today mentioning that Ramadan is that month in which those people who were behind can go ahead. And it's the month in which those people who are behind can go ahead. I thought, subhanAllah, we're all behind. I myself am so behind. It's a month in which I can play catch up. All those pious people who have gone so ahead of me with their daily ma'mulat and their daily actions and their piety and their fasting and all of this, it's a month where inshallah I can reach their level. But what I need to do is work very, very hard. I can't waste a single moment. So obviously one of the main things is ibadah, worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fasting, and along with fasting, all of the other different actions. So here are a few statements he's brought, a few stories from the lives of some of the pious people. So he brings one statement. عن خيثمة قال أبو الدرداء رضي الله تعالى عنه كنت تاجرا قبل المبعث فلما جاء الإسلام جمعت التجارة والعبادة فلم يجتمعا فتركت التجارة ولزمت العبادة. سيدنا أبو درداء رضي الله تعالى عنه, the great Sahabi, he mentions that I was a businessman before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a prophet. So after I embraced Islam, I tried to balance between business and between ibadah, and I realized that they were not, I couldn't manage it. So I left tijara, I left business, and I just focused on ibadah. So of course for us that's a very high level, but the point is they're trying to say that other things, whatever it is, and there are many other narrations like this, and many of the pious people have mentioned things like this, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one hadith mentions, don't, لا تتخذوا الضيعة, don't take, you know, all these business, I want business, another business, this business. If you take so much, you know, occupations and businesses, it will distract you and it will make you inclined towards the dunya. This is the thing, you know, Allah Ta'ala blesses you with money, then it comes with a huge load of challenges itself. At a time when you don't have money, alhamdulillah, you're okay. But the more money comes, then obviously you've got the demands, your own demands, your family's demands, your wife's demands, your children's demands, your own, all the businessmen that you see generally, they're trying to increase. They're trying to start another business. They're trying to invest in this thing, in that thing, in the other thing. So Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu is saying, I realized that I can't become the best version of myself, the true abid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I am too inclined towards business. So I just left it totally. So of course we can't do that, but we can take inspiration. That our business, our jobs, our occupations, they should not take over our lives. We should keep them in the, you know, in the box, that this is job. The purpose of it is to feed my family. It's not who I am. Nowadays, unfortunately, people are defined by their work. I'm a lawyer, I'm a doctor. Recently in Oldham, Mufti Shafiq Sahib, Oscar, you might know, Mufti Shafiq Sahib from Oldham, he is a graduate of Darul Uloom Berri, and then he went to Azhar University, he graduated from there, and mashallah, he's quite, you know, a very talented scholar. They opened the CLC. Where do we have Abu Huraira Abu Bakr? He studied in CLC. He was one of the first people to start it. Which about 3 years ago, he had a heart attack. He's in his early 40s. He had a heart attack, and from there, he's been in a coma for 3 years. He's been in a coma for 3 years. Just 2-3 days ago, he passed away. And his wife was really struggling. She was also an alima, very, very talented. She was managing the women's side there. And but because her husband's on life support machine, and she couldn't financially handle things, so she went back home. And then just 2-3 days ago, he passed away. So his obituary, Marna Mansoor, Dr. Mansoor from Cardiff University, he's a lecturer there. He's also from Oldham. So he mentioned, he says, when we were in Azhar University, because we saw that in Egypt, the people there, they were so, you know, fascinated by these titles. Doctor, lawyer, this. And so once, we were having some problem, we were staying there, because we were studying in Azhar University. We were staying in Cairo in some accommodation. So the landlord, she brought this person, and she wanted to evict us or something. And as soon as that person entered the room, he said, "Ana wakilun," you know, "I'm a lawyer, I'm a lawyer." And the way he said it had so much impression that he thinks it's so special. Straight to Mufti Shafiq, he said, "Well, ana muftin." He said, "I'm a mufti. You're a lawyer, but I'm a mufti. My rank is superior to yours." But the point is, people, this is what is the case now. Everybody regards the work to shape who they are. My job is who I am. And if your job is of the same level as my job, then I'm going to give you some respect. But if your job is not of the same level as my job, then, you know, I'm not bothered about you. You know, look down upon people. So the Sahaba and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba and all of the Anbiya alayhim salam, their main lesson to us was, this job is about acquiring dunya and feeding your family, khalas, nothing else. And if you can do this job in a manner that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes pleased with you, it is not easy, it's very, very hard. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, "At-tajiru as-saduqul aminu ma'an nabiyyina wa shuhada'i wa salihin." Aw kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That businessman who is honest, who is pious, who is trustworthy, on the day of Qiyamah, his maqam will be with the Anbiya alayhim salam. Subhanallah. Because it's not easy. So balancing between dunya and deen is tough. One will have to give. So what we should do is, when it comes to this situation, we should always make sure that if compromise is to be made, it has to be made on our dunya, not on our deen. So this is the lesson from Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions. وَعَنْ إِسْمَعِيلَ بْنِ عُبَيْدِ اللَّهِ قَالَ بَيْنَا أَبُو ثَعْلَبَ الْخُشَنِي وَكَعْبٌ جَالِسَانِ إِذْ قَالَ أَبُو ثَعْلَبَةُ يَا أَبَا إِسْحَاقَ مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ تَفَرَّغَ لِعِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا كَفَاهُ اللَّهُ مؤنة الدنيا. قال كعب: فإن في كتاب الله المنزل من جعل الهموم هما واحدا فجعله في طاعة الله كفاه الله ما همه وضمن السماوات والأرض، فكان رزقه على الله وعمله لنفسه، ومن فرق همومه فجعل في كل واد هما لم يبال الله في أيها هلك. قال الذهبي: من التفرغ للعبادة السعي في السبب، ولا سيما لمن له عيال. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن أفضل ما أكل الرجل من كسب يمينه. سيدنا two of the great تابعون, one of the تابعون أبو ثعلبة الخشني and Ka'b, this would most likely refer to Ka'b al-Ahbar رحمه الله, who was from the تابعون, but he was from those who found the time of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, but he did not embrace Islam in the time of Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم. Later on embraced Islam, and he was a great Yahudi scholar. He was a great Jewish scholar. So later on, even after he embraced Islam, there's a lot of knowledge that we have gained and which is found in the books of Tafsir, which we take from Ka'b al-Ahbar. Because he was a Jewish scholar, so he had a lot of knowledge of the Kitab, of the Tawrat. So Abu Tha'alaba, rahimahullah, he says, Ya Aba Ishaq, O Abu Ishaq, addressing Sayyidina Ka'b, rahimahullah. He says, Ma min abdin tafarraga li'ibadatillah. He said, I found this from my experience, that any servant of Allah who frees his time for Allah's ibadah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surely suffices for him, looks after for him the needs of his dunya. Any servant of Allah who frees time for his Allah's ibadah, Allah ta'ala will surely look after the needs of dunya. This is one of the biggest issues we have, is not, we don't have sufficient yaqeen on Allah ta'ala. I was reading one of the quotations of Maulana Munawwar Hussain, rahmatullahi alayhi, he was a khalifa of Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Zakariya sahab. He mentioned, and I can't remember from the top of my head, just reading the other day, but he says there are four qualities, you know, to become pious. If you have these four ingredients, you will surely attain. He says most people, they're doing ibadah and they're doing, you know, the zahiri acts of worship, the visible physical acts of worship, but they don't possess these four qualities. If they could bring these four qualities into their lives, then this ibadah will not become burdensome, all of their needs will be fulfilled, and they'll be happiest people walking. So many people you see in the masjid, they're very depressed. They're reading five times salah, but they're depressed. They're stressed, they're worried, and in the back of their mind, they're thinking, why is Allah Ta'ala not fixing my problems? So he mentions four qualities, and the first one he says is, we have to really work on our yaqeen in Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. I have to have 100% trust in Allah, Allah Ta'ala will surely look after my problems. This has to be the core ingredient. So he says that whichever servant of Allah frees his time for the ibadah of Allah, surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look after his needs of his dunya. And then Sayyidina Ka'b rahimahullah, he responds to this. He said, well, you know what you just said, I can back it up from the Tawrat. Because in the Tawrat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, the man ja'ala al-humuma hamman wahida. This is very close, a similar wording to a hadith as well, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually mentions this authentic hadith. That whoever makes all of their concerns just one concern. In the hadith he mentions, مَنْ جَعَلَ هُمُمَ هَمَّا وَاحِدًا, whoever's concern is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will, whoever's concern is the deen or the akhirah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look after their needs of dunya. Well, here Sayyidina Ka'b rahimahullah says, whoever makes their concern, all of their concerns, just one concern, which is ta'atullah, the obedience of Allah ta'ala. Whatever happens, I cannot disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let everything finish. You know, this is something I have to deal with. We all have to deal with. Family, this. But you karte hain, you know, this is what we do. Culturally, this is what we do. This is what we're used to. You have to do this. No. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be pleased by it, I'm going to do it. If Allah ta'ala is going to become upset with me, disappointed with me, angry with me because of it, I'm not going to do it. La ta'ata li makhluqin fi ma'asiyati al-khaliq. This month of Ramadan is month of taqwa. What is the purpose of taqwa? That anything in which my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be disappointed with me, I shun it. I move it away from me. I don't go close to it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioning in the hadith, there is no obedience to the creation if it means that my Allah is going to become angry. This has to become like my, you know, motto in life. Is Allah Ta'ala going to be, you know, people, because people are not on the same level of us, as us, so if I say this is haram, this is wrong, people are going to misunderstand. They're so used to this. This is their life. People are doing sins all the time. So when I need to advise someone, I advise them with PR, muhabbat, love, sit down, look. Is this something which is good? Is there something which is beneficial? Is there something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us to do? If we don't do it with love, and this is what happens with young people that are practicing deen, and they come onto practicing deen, and then all of a sudden they become, you know, very stern on everybody around them, and then they themselves suffer problems. And this example I was mentioning last week in the hadith lesson, that scholar, totally, when you see him now, I was shocked to hear, one of the most talented scholars I know, he has more books than anyone I know. Right, day and night, you know, ilm. He's someone that you ask for, when you ask him for the fatwa in any madhab, he will tell you. You ask him for that position in any madhab, he could tell you. And, you know, but he was so stern with his family. Leave me alone, I got to do this, I'm in, no. The wife left him, children left him. His beard has gone, his salah has gone. Allah, you know, protect us, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is the reality. So there has to be balance, there has to be moderation. So with PR, muhabbat, with love, with advice, you know, we encourage them. And we have lots and lots of patience. Lots and lots of patience. This is the way of the Anbiya alayhim salam. فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى. When Allah Ta'ala sent Musa alayhi salam to Fir'aun, Fir'aun, the worst tyrant, the worst person on the planet of earth, Allah Ta'ala said to Musa alayhi salam, go and speak to him with soft speech. Speak to him nicely, softly. Maybe if you speak to him nicely, لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ. Maybe he will take advice then. Advice will actually impact him if you speak softly, if you speak nicely. أَوْ يَخْشَى, or he will start to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a few points here, inshallah. Are we all ready to practice upon a few points, inshallah? We learn from here. Allah Ta'ala give myself all of his tawfiq. Subhanallah. Don't want to make it too long as well. It's fasting.